We continue to celebrate International Women's Day with Minnesota Music there and musician
Dessa.
Gosh, great music on the Friday morning show. I'm Heidi Holton with John Bauer. Now it's time to continue our Making Sausage series. Yesterday we talked to Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, and today we're talking to the Secretary of State. We sure appreciate you being back with us, Steve Simon. Good to talk to you today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So we asked to talk to you today because we wanted to help understand what's going on in the legislature right now with this Help America Vote Act. I know in the last session, it was put into that omnibus bill that did not pass. And then there was a lot of talk as session began that this was going to be one of the easy things to pass. First, just let us know what it is. What is the Help America Vote Act?
Sure. Well, let me just go back a little bit. In 2016, which is really why we're here, Minnesota was one of 21 states that was targeted, whose election system was targeted by a foreign government. The good news is we kept the bad guys out, and that's great. But it was a real sobering event. And so the federal government took notice and passed a bunch of money for states for election security. Minnesota got about $6.6 million, but there's a catch. The catch is that in Minnesota, there's an extra step. Even though that's federal money coming to us, we have a law that says the legislature has to sign off on our use of that federal money. It was supposed to be done last year. It didn't get done, meaning Minnesota is the only state now, literally the only state, that does not have its election security money, and that puts a target on our back. So going into this session, we've already lost a year. Going into this session, the leaders of both chambers said, hey, this is a layup. This is a slam dunk. This is something we can do right away that we can all agree on. We're 2 months into the session. They haven't gotten it done. In fairness, the House, by a huge bipartisan sweeping margin, passed authorization for us to use this money. The Senate is dragging its heels and slow walking this thing for reasons that they won't really explain. And that's a real dangerous game to play, because every day that we don't get this money, we've already lost a year. We're already the only state not to receive it. Every day that that happens, we have a target on our back. And that's not good for voters, and it's not good for confidence in the system. So my message is, we got to get this money. We needed it yesterday, and we owe it to the voters of Minnesota to secure our system.
So, Steve, what on earth could the reasons be?
You know, just last night, we went till 10-something last night. We were in a conference committee of both House members and Senate members, and we had our experts from our office, even some outside experts there, willing to answer any questions about our plan to spend this money. We convened a group over 2018 from the time the legislature adjourned in May until December. We met several times. We came up with a plan, a blueprint for how to spend this money once we got it. And we asked the question last night, what about this plan do you object to? Is there something that was in there that you don't like? Something that's not in there that you want in there? Let us know what your questions are. And they declined to ask any questions. All they said was they're firm. They only want to limit the money to about a fraction of it, about 20%. And I don't know why that is. It's frustrating. And, you know, it's not about my frustration. It's about doing serious damage to our election system. Again, we kept the bad guys out. But the issue with cybersecurity is it's kind of like a race without a finish line. You got to stay one step ahead of the bad guys all the time, and there is no end zone where you get to spike the football or stop or pat yourself on the back. And the folks that are doing this now, it's not the kid in the basement. It's people funded by foreign governments with deep pockets, and we got to take it really, really seriously. So every day that goes by is a day that we are risking unpreparedness for 2020. And so, you know, I got to tell you, it's not my opinion. It's the opinion of the intelligence officials in Washington from multiple agencies who tell us and have told us as recently as 5 weeks ago in some closed-door briefings that this problem is going to get worse and we should expect it from more sources. So with that in mind, I think it's really unfortunate and it's reckless that we're not getting authorization to use this money. And just for your listeners' sake, I want to make it real clear. There is $6.6 million sitting in St. Paul in an account from the federal government. It's sitting there. We can't touch it. It's been there for a year. And we can't touch it, even though President Trump and Congress passed this, signed this, sent this to us for election security. We can't touch a dime of it unless the legislature gives us sort of permission slip language. The House, to its credit, both parties in the House have said, great, 100% yes. The Senate, for reasons that I just don't know, they're foot dragging on this, and that's unfortunate.
We're talking to the Secretary of State of Minnesota, Steve Simon. So what would you do with that $6.6 million?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of plans for it, and we convened this group that I mentioned of people from around the state, townships, cities, counties, IT experts, disability community, other folks. And the first thing I'd mention is we need to re-secure and modernize what's called the statewide voter registration system. It's a fancy title for the big database that is the spine of the system. It does a lot more than just voter registration, and we run that out of our office. Every state has such a system, and that's where the real vulnerability is. I mentioned at the outset that there were 21 states targeted by this foreign government, and we were one of them. Well, in two of those 21 states, there was a breach. And where was the breach? It was to that system. And so we know that that is a potential vulnerability, not just to outsiders, but just generally. It was built in 2004 and built well in 2004, but like a lot of things built well in 2004, maybe that flip phone you loved back then, it needs upgrading and modernization. So job number one is probably that. And then there are all sorts of recommendations from federal intelligence officials. We had them in the office, about a team of six or seven people from Department of Homeland Security who came here last spring and summer, spent a week probing, poking, prying, trying to find our vulnerabilities. Then they issued a report with recommendations about systems, software, hardware, and things that they think we have to do in order to shore up our defenses. So this isn't something we came up with. These are things that federal intelligence officials are saying you got to do, and you got to do quickly. So that's, in brief, kind of the menu.
So the $6.6 million doesn't mean we're going to go away from paper ballots when we go
to
vote.
No.
Okay.
No, I am adamant about that. And in fairness, everyone is. Minnesota really has a leg up on a lot of other states because we're good old-fashioned paper. It's one of those great examples where low-tech beats high-tech. In Minnesota, it's hard to, obviously, you know, we have to keep those ballots for 2 years. If anyone has a suspicion or a hunch or anything that something bad happened, you can touch them and feel them and see them. And we store them in warehouses for 2 years, and that's good. So we're never moving away from that.
So it sounds like they weren't giving you really answers last night in this conference committee, but some of the coverage I've read of the issue having to do with the Help America Vote Act, they've brought up this idea of provisional ballots. Can you explain that a little bit?
Sure. There are some political activists who are urging the Senate majority to hold out, to basically trade this money for provisional balloting, as you rightly mentioned. And I oppose that. I think most people do. Provisional balloting is something unusual in the sense that we've never had it in Minnesota. Basically, what it means is, for the first time in Minnesota, we'd have a maybe pile at the polling place. The yes pile, these are legitimate ballots, we're counting them. The no pile, we're not. And then the maybe pile. And how do you get in the maybe pile? If anyone challenges you as a voter, they don't think you're a citizen, they don't think you're a resident, whatever. If anyone challenges you, then you end up in the maybe pile. Maybe they'll count it, maybe they won't. And then the burden sort of shifts to you as the voter to prove that you are a voter. I mean, that's not the way we usually do things in this country. And so it's expensive, it's burdensome, it's not necessary because we have same-day voter registration in Minnesota. So if there are any mistakes at the polls or someone is supposed to be in the voter rolls, but they weren't for some reason through a human error, that's the fix that we've had. And it served us really well. We're number one in the country in voter participation and turnout. So I oppose that. I know the governor opposes it. It's not something that's realistically going to happen. I would be disappointed if I learned that that were truly the reason for this delay, because it's not something that's realistically going to happen.
So someone listening to us right now, if they have an opinion either way, what can they do? Is there anything voters can do here?
Yeah, I mean, if you really feel, as I do, that it's a dangerous game to be blocking this money for whatever reason, whether it's political advantage, whether it's to save it for a late in the session, mid-May sort of bargaining chip, if you feel, as I do, that that's playing a very, very dangerous game, then I would call your senator. If you go to the Senate website, which is just senate.mn, senate.mn. If you know your senator, you can find that person's contact information there. If you don't, there's a place where you can type in your address and figure out who that person is. But I think they need to hear from folks that this isn't like other issues that you can save for the end of session and do a bargaining chip. Every day that goes by is a day that we can't staff up, that we can't plan, that we can't send out the RFPs and the other things to get the process moving. We can't just flip on a light switch if we get this money in 8 weeks or 10 weeks. It's a long process in the IT world, and the stakes are very high.
I know this is taking a lot of your time with this Help America Vote Act. Are there other bills in the legislature right now that have to do with voting and impact your office?
I'm glad you asked. Yes, there are many other things that we're working on. For example, one of them is this. Some of your listeners know that coming up a little less than a year from now, we are going to have a presidential primary election in Minnesota, not caucuses. We've moved to a primary system. But the problem with that isn't so much that move. The problem is the way the legislature wrote the law right now. Any voter going in to vote in that primary on March 3rd of 2020 is going to have to choose a ballot from a political party. There will be separate ballots, a Democratic ballot, a Republican ballot, and so on. So far, so good, except that the ballot that you choose, which party's ballot you choose, will now be a public record. It's kind of like a backdoor party registration system, which I oppose. We've never had that in Minnesota. We've never had a system of party registration where you register to vote and declare an allegiance to a party. And I think Minnesotans are going to feel very uncomfortable about that, about their neighbor, their employer, knowing their party affiliation or loyalties. Again, we've never had that. This is a sneaky sort of backdoor way to do that. And I want the legislature to undo that. It's okay to have a primary. There are a lot of good reasons to do that. But I think Minnesotans since statehood have said, you know, that's private to me. Nobody needs to know what my party affiliation is. And I think people are going to be awfully uncomfortable and even angry. And I think they should be. So we want to get that changed. That's another high priority.
And it leaves out, say, people like me. I work in media, and so I'm not affiliated with any party. So I'm not going to be able to vote.
That's exactly right. You know, I've made this same argument. There are a number of professions you can think of where people... It's okay to have a preference. Everyone who votes expresses a preference, but they don't want it to be public. So if you're a journalist, if you're a school administrator, if you're a judge, there are many professions we could all think of where, you know, you're somewhat in the public eye or you feel a responsibility to the public not to be sort of out there about your private preferences. And I think that's going to chill participation, which in Minnesota, again, number one voter turnout state in the country, is just sort of alien to us. So I hope the legislature will correct that oversight. I hope they'll realize it as an oversight to make sure that it's a free and fair election, that everyone can vote without fear of their neighbor or their employer or anyone else being able to look up their party preference.
It also, for me, like, what if I'm somebody who, you know, mostly votes Republican, but I'm really behind a Democratic candidate for something?
Well, that's a great point. This sort of paints you into a little bit of a corner, and that data is going to be out there. So, I don't think it's good. The other things that we're working on this session is restoring the right to vote for people who have left prison behind. If you've done your time already, you're out working, you're paying taxes, you're doing all the things that we ask. It's not right and it's not fair that you should be barred from voting. Many other states are moving in this direction. North Dakota, Iowa, Florida are other states moving in this direction, and I think we should too. We're also working on a bill for automatic voter registration, which is a way to clean up our voter rolls, make them more accurate. Get people into the system earlier. It's worked very well in many states around the country, red states, blue states. There's no political hue here. And so those are some of the things that we're working on. There are others as well in the election space. But 2020 is going to creep up on us before we know it, and we want to make sure we keep the good that we have in Minnesota. Again, number one in the country, second election in a row in voter turnout, and there's a reason for that. People here love to vote.
Don't you? I always imagine, John, don't you imagine Steve Simon with a big foam finger when he's saying this?
He's just jacked.
Number one in the country.
All right. So, Steve, we all know election security is ultimate importance, but at 1:30 today, there's nothing more important in northern Minnesota than the Greenway hockey game. Now, people need to know who you're thinking. I mean, they're playing Matamida. You know, what are you rooting for?
Of course, Greenway. Come on. I mean, what else would I say, right?
No, that's
tournament
right.
Time is great. If nothing else, just for the hair, right?
Best hair by far,
right,
yeah.
The hockey hair. Everyone's watching all the hockey hair. Yeah, it's tough to handicap this one. I've been following it a little bit. I've been hip-deep in the legislative stuff, but, you know, you can't not follow it and if you're in Minnesota. But it's going to be fascinating. It always is. It's a fun time of year.
As Secretary Simon said, you can get a hold of your legislators. Let them know how you feel on these bills, not only the Help America Vote Act, but the bill having to do with the presidential primary and with people who have done their time getting to vote. If you have strong feelings either way on that, connect with your legislator, write to them, call them. That's their job, is to listen to their constituents. Hope you get some sleep. I know it's a busy time.
It's okay. It's we're all running on adrenaline. It's a good thing.
All right. Thanks so much. Talk to
Thanks
you later.
Thanks for having me.
Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon. For more information on his office, you can go to sos.state.mn.us. And as he said, to find your senator, go to senate.mn.